The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, all this week, News Talk is partnering with Make-A-Wish Ireland to celebrate Wish Week. And you are going to hear some incredible stories on this show and right across the station for the week ahead, much like you did last year. It was our great pleasure to partner with them in 2023, and we took great pride in being asked to do so again in 2024. Make-A-Wish Ireland is dependent on the generosity of the public. You can donate online, makeawish.ie/donate. One happy recipient of a wish was 15-year-old Sam Dunn. His mum, Kira, is with me now. Kira, thank you so much for coming into studio for a chat. Can you tell us first a little bit about Sam?
So Sam is 15 and he was born with, he was diagnosed with autism at 18 months. So he initially spoke and walked and met all milestones, and then eventually we saw red flags that would have showed signs of autism. Then a few years later, he was diagnosed with epilepsy at 7. And then most recently, last year, he was diagnosed with neuromuscular scoliosis of an unknown cause. So Sam currently attends a special school in Kill called Sapling Special School, and he is nonverbal. However, he finds loads of different ways to communicate with us, and he is the life and soul of our house and everywhere he goes.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about him as a character.
So he loves to laugh, loves tickles, loves to have fun. He loves dance parties. He absolutely loves swimming. He would spend all his time in the water if he could. And he is incredibly affectionate. He loves bear hugs. He loves just being in the center. If there's any birthday parties in our house, he is in the center of it all.
So how have those different diagnoses impacted him? The autism maybe first. We'll start there.
Yeah, so autism, as you know, is a huge spectrum, and nobody can tell you what your child is going to be at 3 or 5 or 6. So it's very much following a day-to-day routine. For Sam was the really important thing at the very beginning, that there was no changes. We kept with whatever made him happy. I suppose the biggest challenge is obviously the support that you get for children with autism and the education that parents also receive as well. So that I did find that incredibly challenging for the first few years of his diagnosis. But in terms of how it affected Sam, he's nonverbal. So as long as his world stayed the same and we did everything that he liked to do, he was happy. And it's always been a priority of ours to keep Sam happy. And then I suppose with epilepsy, obviously that took a bit more of a medical turn in terms of that brought us into hospital then.
Yeah.
So that was it. Also another challenge for us to be educated on what does epilepsy mean. Epilepsy is also a spectrum of different types of seizures. So I'm always being educated on it. Even now today, Sam's epilepsy is different to what he was first diagnosed with.
So how does it manifest now?
So now he can have all types of seizures. So tonic-clonic seizures, he can have absence seizures. So you just don't know on any given day. So I suppose it really is for us taking it day by day. He is on long-term medication. He has been on long-term medication to try and keep it at bay. However, it looks like it's something that he'll never grow out of.
Okay. And when you say on a day-to-day basis, I mean, are they a daily feature, seizures?
Sometimes if he's under the weather, if he has a temperature, if hormones have kicked in over the last few years.
Things, 15, yeah.
Yeah, 15. You just never know what can affect it. Sometimes even a change of routine can actually trigger seizures. Maybe bright lights or too much sensory overload can also make him have a seizure. So his school have been incredibly supportive in terms of the education piece surrounding Sam and his medical needs. And I suppose like that, we just take it day by day.
And the neuromuscular scoliosis, when did you know, or how did you notice that? What happened?
So that was a few weeks of us noticing something was just a bit different with Sam. So Sam actually broke his foot in February 2020.
Okay.
So right before,
just at the start of it. Yeah.
Yeah, just before, we won't mention the word. And April last year, we had noticed he had started walking funny on his foot again.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, maybe he needed to go to physio. There was just something, he was walking a bit slower. Anyway, we looked into it, we contacted the GP, and he was about to go to start physio for the foot and the walking. And we were sitting outside in my partner's parents' house, and we noticed that his back looked a bit different. The cage, you know, it was just his posture was looking different. So yeah. I actually pulled up his top and saw that his spine had started to curve.
You could actually see it.
You could see it. Mm-hmm. Within weeks, he as I said, he's a swimmer. So you would notice these things, and we just hadn't seen any difference up until that point. So immediately we brought him into Cronin Hospital, and he was there for a month.
A month?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big change of routine.
Yeah.
Do you know, for someone who cherishes it.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was eye-opening. It was really frightening, actually, to be honest, because I've always said that Sam doesn't have his voice. That was taken away from him. He's never been able to tell us what's going on. But I always said, at least he has his mobility. I always try and look for the finer things, like the good things. Yeah. Be grateful for what we have. And I always said he had his mobility and he had perfect posture. He was a gymnast. He climbed on everything, you know. And I suppose the reality of that over that course of the month that we were in St. Joseph's in Cronin Hospital, which are absolutely incredible, I realised that that was going to be taken away from him.
And has it been? I mean, okay. Yeah.
So initially his spine, the Cobb angle, that's how they measure the curvature of the spine. It was 43 degrees and now it's the late 50s. Now that can take in around 10 degrees of the Cobb angle, but it's curved significantly more.
And what needs to happen on that front?
So because he has neuromuscular scoliosis, so it's caused by brain, something that's happening within his brain, but they cannot identify what it is. Unfortunately, that surgery, he's not a candidate for surgery.
So if you kind of straighten the spine through surgery, it might just happen again.
It's going to happen again. Yeah, it's going to happen. So not only has the spine curved, but he has muscle deterioration. So what he was able to do this time last year, he's not able to do anymore. So he requires the use of a wheelchair now. And very much his fine motor skills, he doesn't have fine motor skills. He really finds it very hard for picking up things. And, you know, now it's his gross motor that has been affected. Yeah.
I know. And I've spoken, I'm lucky enough to speak to people in situations like yourselves here. And I'm always kind of blown away by, you know, what you talked about there about, you know, needing to find ways to show gratitude for the things you have. And so it's not in your nature to kind of focus on yourselves. But I mean, I think people listening to this, you know, will be thinking about you as well and your partner.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've kind of gone through it the way you describe it. It's kind of two periods of mourning. When you get the autism diagnosis, you kind of, and I say this, and Sam is his own person and is his own agency. So I saw this with all due respect to him. Mm-hmm. But you do mourn the loss of the child you maybe imagined you were going to have. And then that happens all over again with the scoliosis.
Yeah, absolutely. And like that with autism, it takes a long time. Even still today, I probably still haven't fully understood what that actually means. Mm. But I always thought, well, at least he has his mobility. At least we can bring him places and he can fully enjoy it. And knowing now that the neuromuscular scoliosis is going to take him away in terms of that mobility, and we see the world completely different now. We look at places, oh, where can we take Sam that will now accommodate a wheelchair?
It's gotten smaller, hasn't it?
Very, yeah, very much so. But I always find in the depths of despair, when you feel like there's nobody there, there really is. So like I said, St. Joseph, St. Cronin, there are other parents like going through something similar that we've gone with Sam. Mm. And they've been there for longer than a month. They've been there up to a year, maybe 2 years. And in the small canteen that parents get to use to make a cup of tea in the evening, you find your people there.
Yeah.
And you find you're not alone. And even at those points when we were there initially, when he got diagnosed, I was so grateful that I was able to meet with people like that and we were able to share that experience.
Tell me about Make-A-Wish then and how they came on the scene and what they did for you.
So Make-A-Wish are the most fantastic charity there really is. And Make-A-Wish, I suppose I had in the hospital, I had heard other parents talk about it and say, you know, you should reach out to them. And it was something that I put off And I said, you know what, I will in my own time. There's an awful lot of things that kind of come at you when you get a diagnosis like this. And you just take your time to go back to as normal as you can. So I was actually at a Rare Ireland conference, because what Sam has is incredibly rare, so rare that they can't find what it actually is. And Make-A-Wish had a stand at it. And I went up and I kind of felt, oh, maybe Sam isn't, you know, the candidate for Make-A-Wish or to get a wish. And I went over and the lady was so lovely. And she said, listen, let's just fill in the form today. And I said, okay, no problem. Thinking again, Sam, we wouldn't get anything.
Yeah.
And I was contacted within a week.
Wow.
And
what was the wish?
The wish was, I had put on it that Sam just loves swimming. So anything to do with swimming, we would happily take.
Yeah.
And they had said to us that they had a few days in Centre Parks and would it be something that Sam would like as his wish? And I said, absolutely. I couldn't think of anything better for him. So we went, we were so lucky to get a week when they had all the Christmas decorations and everything there, Santa there, Christmas Day, everything was there in the village in Central Park. So we went for the first week of December with the family.
Yeah. And the water, he enjoyed being in it?
Oh, I think we spent majority of our time there.
Yeah.
We had been a few years before that. So he knew as soon as we went into that water park, he knew exactly where he was.
Yeah.
So he had the best time and it gave us so much joy. Like, huge amount of joy. Our other kids, obviously being in hospital, he was actually in hospital for over 9 weeks from that June last year. So we have other kids and they would have missed out on spending time with mum and dad and the rest of the family. And we just switched off the phones for the week. We spent all our time and it was just amazing.
Well, listen, Kira, I mean, you tell a great story about how they helped and what a difference they made, and I'm sure it'll be appreciated and it will touch people at home. So listen, how is Sam today and what's the prognosis for the future?
So Sam recently was in hospital and we learned that there is nothing really more that the hospital can do. So for now, we have been referred to genetic counselling. He's had an awful lot of genetics done and looked into the family as well, but nothing has come back. So at this moment in time, there is nothing that anybody can do. And we are just taking it day by day. Nobody can tell me what prognosis is. And we tend not to focus too much on that because I think if I did, I probably wouldn't be here today. But it is very much just making Sam as happy as we can and keeping as much as we can a normal life for everybody then.
Kira, listen, thanks a million for speaking to us.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.